It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. And we got Jose Rodriguez in. He's in the captain's chair, and he's like flipping all the switches up and down and pressing buttons up and down and making this all work, making me sound like I know what I'm doing.
Hey, I try. I try.
You do a good job.
Thank you.
You're a real good job. How you doing, Jose?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's I've only been outside once, but I think it's
once
a little,
is enough.
It's a little more not as hot as the previous days.
Well, I hear tomorrow and the next day it would be like scorchers, like 100 degrees or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward
to it. So all you guys that work in the restaurants and the breweries and in those hot environments, just try to stay cool. I feel for you because I know exactly. You know what? And I was speaking with my favorite brewmeister, Steve, and we were talking a little bit, and he says it's probably one of the muggiest, hottest, humid Augusts he's had to deal with. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later,
muggy, yeah.
How it affects everything. But other than that, what you got up to? Anything? You look nice and refreshed. Like you, did you have a nap before the show? Oh no, you were with Tom Lounges.
I was, yeah. But no,
so that's you listen to that music and you're just hanging out.
I have been good on sleep. Not gonna lie. Thank you for noticing. I guess my skin has been looking a little bit more clear. But
more clear. So we're gonna head out to Crown Brewery today.
Oh, I am very excited. I am a frequent person there.
Are you really?
Yeah, or at least before the pandemic, uh-huh. I haven't really been anywhere. Post yet, but yeah. I have stuff planned, so I'm
excited. She's planning to come
it.
And see you, I think.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we need to get to Crown Brewery. How are we going to get to Crown Brewery today?
Well, you said some sort of boat so we can get some splash some water on
our
faces.
Yeah, because it's hot out there.
It's pretty powerful, though.
Like, I don't know how we found water, but we found enough water to get us from here at our studios here in Miraville across, you know, Broadway. Over to like Main Street and Crown Point, and it kind of curves a little left right to Crown Brewery. I don't know how we got that water there, but we're going to take our little boat there.
Yeah, let me
and you
see
know what?
If
I think
start
I'm just
going to
water ski in the back or sit on one of those discs or something. You can drive.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you know what? And this is a nice boat. Is this like a hovercraft or something?
You know what? I just love the water splashing my face. It is a little loud. Yeah, it's a hovercraft.
It's a hovercraft. I see that you got your nice tank top on too,
yeah,
that white one.
Got to even out that tan, yeah.
Oh, slow down.
Oh, we're Steve, approaching. We're approaching.
Steve,
here, catch the
Steve,
rope.
We got it.
Yeah, let's rope her in. Let's rope her in.
All right. Thanks for
thank
pulling
you,
us
thank all
right,
Steve,
you can take
thank
off
you.
Your life vest now.
Life vest. I got the parachute on. I got everything. I don't know what to expect when Jose's driving. So, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, really good. Thanks for having me again.
Folks, you're here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. This is Let's Eat. And today we have a special guest. One of the first guys I ever had on. The show it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, and he's been a frequent visitor, and I'm proud to have him on. I'm proud to say he's a friend, but he's Brewmeister Steve. That's how I have him on my phone
yeah.
and everything. You're Brewmeister Steve. But Steve, tell everyone your full name.
I'm Steve Mazaluski.
So Steve, just to give a little bit of background, because you know people you know are just joining us for the first time, give a little background about yourself.
Oh sure. I grew up in the lovely town of Berwyn, one of the Chicago suburbs, and my father was a school teacher, and he collected beer cans in the 70s, like a lot of people did. And our family vacations used to be literally touring breweries, and he would get cans for his collection at different breweries. So ever since I was a young boy, I was impressed with the sights and smells of the brewing operations going on. And I thought the brewmaster was the guy in the white lab coat taking tank readings and dictating orders to all the workers. And I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
That's so cool. You know, and I mean, back then, there wasn't that, like, many breweries.
Oh, no. Back in that time, there was maybe 57 or so in the entire nation.
57 in the whole nation.
Oh, wow.
And none of those were really microbreweries or brew pubs. That wasn't quite a thing yet. So I got lucky enough to get my foot in the door at the first brewery in the suburbs of Chicago in my hometown of Berwyn called the Weinkeller Brewery. And I was a part-time assistant apprentice for 6 years, learning the ropes. And I've been doing it full-time since 1995.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is amazing. So you're just like you were born with a bottle in your mouth.
I was born with boots on, yeah.
Yeah. I can tell. That is great. So tell everyone where the location is of
okay,
Crown
so
Brewing.
Okay, so we're at 211 Southeast Street in the lovely town of Crown Point. So we're about a block, half a block south and east of the square.
And what was that building before
so
it was a brewery?
Because
it's kind of a unique building.
It sure
give everyone
is.
A feeling like the atmosphere of the building, okay. What you might see when you're driving in.
We're attached to Carriage Court Pizza, which is a separate business, but we operate as one. And the building that they're in was the boiler house that supplied steam heat to the old Lake County jail cells that
that's
Dillinger escaped from. So where the brewing is done is actually in a garage that was built after the jail closed, and they used to do Meals on Wheels out of there to deliver folks.
You know, you
food.
Actually cleared something up for me personally, because I really always thought that was a brewery to begin with. Like
no,
from way in a day. That stack.
The smokestack's a dead giveaway. It looks like, yeah, that's an old-time brewery. But there was a brewery in Crown Point called Crown Brewing, and that's where we pretty much got our name from. They were in operation, but they closed long before Prohibition.
Okay.
So they actually got in trouble for discharging some of the brewery effluent into the local ditch and creek. And this is way before EPA laws. So you can imagine how bad it must have been to get shut down back then.
Wow. Yeah, it would take a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even have – well, you were in Crown Point, though. That was the hub. Who knows?
So that was an older brewery that's –
yeah, that closed, I want to say, in the early 1900s before Prohibition.
Oh, were there any, recipes from there?
Well, we don't know much. I mean, there's a lot of brewery in or bottles and some signage that has survived, mm-hmm. but we haven't run across any things.
Like, do you have any of that up?
We have a collection of bottles that's not on display. You know, we just have such a small place. There's really not a lot of room to put anything up like that. But history is a big part of me and brewing, so we'd be welcome to do that.
Formal training. Is there any kind of formal training
absolutely.
That you had or
I
you
was actually saving my money to go to the Siebel Institute of Technology, which is a world-renowned brewing school, which happens to be in the great city of Chicago. And I was saving my money to go there when I landed an assistant position, so I never actually was formally trained, but I have been a brewmaster I've been working in a brewery for 32 years now.
Wow. Now, so were you ever the guy that made beer in your bathtub?
No, not really. No, I never homebrewed. I've only been professionally brewing.
And how many years?
32 years in a brewery.
33, that's a long, long time.
As soon as I turned
21. So it wasn't like your hobby to begin with. It was like
no,
your advocate.
No, it was just what I knew what I wanted to do since I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Now, you brought us something here that's really cool.
Yeah, actually.
And they're for the Crown Beer Fest.
Crown Beer Fest. This is our 11th year. It was supposed to be our 12th year because last year we obviously didn't do it. We're going to be at Bulldog Park September 4th.
So and you used to be at the Lake County Fairgrounds.
We used to do it at the Lake County Fairgrounds in the industrial building and the 4-H building. We're trying out Bulldog Park this year.
So is this the first year for this?
This is the first year at Bulldog Park, correct. Yes. So this is going to be a wonderful beer fest. We're going to have up to 50 breweries with close to 200 different beers there.
Wow.
And this is one-stop shopping. If you like beer, this is going to be the place that you're going to want to go to.
So we got something even more exciting. We have two tickets, and these value, each ticket's $80 value.
These are not just any tickets. These are the VIP ticket. So
this
gets you in an hour before the general admission, so you're not going to be fighting crowds to try all the best beers that you want to try. You're going to get a free meal out of it and a bag with a bunch of swag in it, too.
Wow.
So you got two tickets. So the total value is $160. So you need to call in 769-9577. And what we're going to do is we're going to take your name, we're going to put it into a basket, and we're going to draw it.
At the end of the show?
And at the end of the show, and we'll send you out the two tickets. So folks, dial in 769-9577 and get two tickets to the Crown Beer Fest 2021 at Bulldogs Park in Crown Point. And that is what day
September
is
that? September 4th.
September 4th.
So that would be next Saturday.
$160 value, VIP tickets. Can't beat that. 769-9577. Steve brought that from Crown Brewery. So, and you know what? Also, you need to give us a little comment. Join the conversation. We just don't want your name.
Yeah, sure. Ask a question.
We want some input. So Jose's got somebody on the line there. So we're talking a little about the food. So the food is from somewhere else?
Yeah, we're attached to Carriage Court Pizza. They do wonderful pizzas and sandwiches, and they have a full menu. We don't have to worry about making food, and they don't have to worry about making awesome beer. And
you guys make awesome food.
We work hand in hand together. You could drink our beer on their side, and you could eat their food on our side, and it works out really well.
So do you have any outdoor seating?
Yeah, we have a wonderful patio.
Okay.
And it we expanded it a couple of years ago to hold more people, uh-huh. and that is ever popular, even in hot weather.
You got somebody on the line?
Yeah, the address
and everything so we can send it to him. And if you're waiting, if you're calling in, just hang on the line because Jose's only one man. And we got two lines, so he's trying to write down that. And he's going to ask your name, your address, so you can get in on this Crown Brewfest drawing for September 4th over at Bulldogs Park. It's are you considered the main sponsor?
Oh, we are the running the show there, correct, yeah.
So you're going to have any bands there?
Yeah, there'll be bands. Robert Federson is going to be headlining,
okay.
and he's been a musician for as long as I've been brewing beer, and he is a wonderful, accomplished musician, and I'm excited to hear what he's going to be playing.
Okay, and food-wise, we're having food trucks?
Yeah, we're going to be having food trucks. I don't have that information with me, but if you go to crownbeerfest.com, I think they might have an updated list on there.
Jose's just busy on that phone over there.
Did you get a chance to try some of the beers I brought?
No, I did try some of them, but yeah. Why don't you tell us what you brought?
So, this is hot weather,
and the one I really like is the one with the lemon in it. But go ahead.
Yeah. So since it's very hot out, I decided to bring a couple of very summery beers. I have our German Helles Lager, which is a light German lager, super easy to drink. It's only about 5.2% alcohol. It's got light, crisp flavor with a little bit of kiss of hops to kind of balance the sweet maltiness of it. And then I brought our El Shandido, which is actually a lemonade shandy. And that I actually take our Mexican lager, and I'm adding lemonade to it for an incredibly refreshing, thirst-quenching drink.
You could be a commercial.
Yes.
It is. You know what? That was my favorite one. That I even said Belinda tried some. She liked it. That you can actually put that over ice.
If you wanted to and keep it ice cold.
You probably can make that a slushy out of it.
Oh, now you're talking.
Have you ever made a slushy out of it?
I have not, but I've tried other beer slushies, and when they're done right, they're phenomenal.
So how many vats you have back there?
Well, we have 4 7-barrel fermenters and 2 15-barrel fermenters.
And they're always going all the
time?
Yeah,
I've been maxing them out lately, just trying to get ready for festival season and Crown Beer Fest and keeping the thirsty patrons happy.
Jose, so what's going on? Did you get any people for the drawing?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting tons of names. I didn't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, next time ask them to come on and talk to us.
Come on and talk. Okay, there's a bunch, though.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, I'm just letting you know that.
So, folks, again, we got this drawing here. It's for the Crown Beer Fest 2021. It's at Bulldogs Park. It's September 4th. And we have two tickets, and the value of the tickets, because they're VIP tickets, which get you in early, get you some food, and you get to taste all the great beer ahead of time. It's a $160 value. So give us a call. We're going to put your name in the hat. And remember, when you call, you have to join in the conversation and ask Steve some, like, really hard question or something like, Steve, how many different types of hops do you carry?
Oh, we're using probably 25 or 30 different varieties throughout the year, but overall, there's got to be well over 100 types of hops that you can brew beer with.
That's crazy. And we were talking a little bit about the hops, and you had a great story about that, how people actually come to your – and if you ever seen Crown Brewery, Steve is – you see these garage doors, and he's behind the garage door like Oz, and he's making his beer and everything. And he gets these guys that comes up and say, hey, man, you want to buy some hops on the side?
Yeah, I get a lot of people.
Do you do that? Do you buy that?
You know,
and why not?
Hops are fairly easy to grow. You just put some roots in the ground, and next thing you know, you got a big vine growing with cones that look kind of like pine cones, but they're the flower of the hop, and that's what actually brewers use to impart flavor, bitterness, and aroma to their beers. And every backyard gardener thinks that they're growing the best hops imaginable. And, you know, they come to the brewery and say, hey, you know, I grown some hops, you want to use them? And I'll say, well, what variety are they? And I don't know, they're hops. And I'll start asking technical questions about alpha acids or, you know, cohumulone content, and they're like, I don't know any of that. And then they come to find out that they're not even dried out or understand. I just can't use that. I have to know what's going in the beer to make it consistent and good.
And you would also, before we get to this caller, you just don't use this raw hops. You get them in a
Pellet farm. About 98% of the breweries worldwide are using the processed form of hops. They put them in little green, they look like little pellets, almost like guinea pig or rabbit food. Mm-hmm. And those are like the concentrated form of the flour. It's just easier to store and transport, and they stay fresher longer.
And they're consistent, probably.
Yeah, too. Very consistent that way.
Who we got, Jose?
All right, we have Debbie from Illinois joining us.
Wow. Debbie, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
I'm glad you call in.
Yes. So my question for Brewmaster there is, what is your favorite brew?
My favorite brew is actually one that I have brought today, and that is our German Helles. It's a light, just a light drinkable, summery beer. I love IPAs as well. They need to be done correctly. I don't want them to be too bitter or not bitter enough. And they have this whole craze of these New England style where they're hazy and chunky. I'm not really a big fan of that. I'm more of a lager lover.
Ah, okay. See, I like the IPAs, but I'm with you. I need it to be light. I need it to be kind of smooth, not chunky, because no.
Yeah, there's enough of those out there.
Debbie, have you ever been over to Crown Brewery?
I've been there a couple of times.
Steve, nice. Tell her something, that the lemon one. That's one you have to try.
Yeah, so our Mexican lager with actually just lemonade added to it, it lightens everything up. It gives a little sweetness and tartness from the lemonade, and it makes it ever refreshing and quaffable.
Ooh.
Is that something?
That sounds right up my alley.
That's something for your palate there. So what we're going to do, Debbie, we're going to enter your name into our contest. It's for two tickets for the Crown Brew Fest 2021. It's at Bulldog Park. It's September the 4th, and they're VIP tickets. So if you win them, it's $160 value for you and one of your friends to go visit and get some food and taste all the great beer ahead of time.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
Who we got, Jose?
All right. So the next caller we have is Greg.
Greg, how are you, man?
From Illinois.
From Illinois. We got a lot of Illinois people. How you doing?
All right. I'm in Crete.
You're in Crete. Great. So you got a question here for Steve?
Brewmaster Steve? A comment, Steve. Okay. I have been up to the Potosi Brewery in Potosi, Wisconsin, and they're right on the banks of the Mississippi River, and they have hops growing on the bank, literally over the river, and when they are ready to be harvested, what they do is they have local people come in and volunteer their time to pick baskets of hops in exchange for lunch and beer.
How neat.
It's a very interesting concept. I know you don't have the space or the soil for that. But,
right. And then are they using those and incorporating them into one of their brews?
They are, and I didn't have time to talk to anybody the day that we were there. They were quite busy. And
yeah.
I didn't have time to speak with anybody.
So what you can do when you pick fresh hops like that is you can do a beer called a wet hopped beer. So this is actually using those cone flowers from the hop vines, mm-hmm. and you're not drying them out. You actually add them to the boil in their wet state. And it kind of some people like it, some people don't, but it adds a kind of a greener, almost like a cut grass, fresh-cut grass kind of flavor to the beers.
Mm.
So it's a neat way to use hops, even if you don't know any of the technical specifications, because you pretty much have to send those off to a lab to get analyzed for that kind of data. But it's a really neat way to use hops that are, you just grow on your backyard or patio that way.
Yeah, there's another brewery in Wisconsin called Tyranina. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, and very popular, and they have their own hops growing. Well, they did the last time I was there, which was some years ago. But I think they harvest their own. But, yeah, that's a very popular place. They have a lot of music. They have a lot of good food. And then they do a lot of events for charity, like bike rides.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Crown Beer Fest?
I haven't been to the fest, but I've been to the brewery. I have spoken briefly in passing when Steve comes out wearing the big boots. He's got a lot of good products. Are you going to have your pumpkin spice this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're drinking
now. That's one of the beers I brought with to share with Nick and Jose today as well. We just did a big canning run of it last week. So we have lots of six packs ready to go at the bar. And I'll definitely be bringing a keg of that for the Crown Beer Fest, because that is by far our most popular seasonal beer.
And it has no pumpkin in it.
It has no pumpkin in it. I just use the spices. Yeah.
But it does pour a little orange.
It does. The description of the beer says the color resembles the falling leaves.
It does.
Well, we're not quite there with the falling leaves yet, and we have this beer ready a little bit earlier than we normally would, but it seems like a lot of brewers are releasing their fall beers earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good beer.
We're going to put your hat and your name in the hat for the Crown Beer Fest 2021 drawing at Bulldogs Park, September 4th. Right. And like I said, the two tickets are valued at $160, and I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Greg. Good luck, Steve.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Folks, again, dial in 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call, and what we'll do is we're going to throw your name into the hat for the Crown Beer Fest 2021 party, I can say, at Bulldog Park. It's sponsored by Crown Brewing. It's September 4th, and we have two tickets, value of $160. That's amazing. Yeah. First in could be last out.
Yep. Yeah, right. Right.
And if I can peel away from the phone and for Uber 2 seconds.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm gonna try to sample the wonderful beer that he brought.
Well, you know what you gotta try is let's talk about that, the pumpkin one.
Yeah, that's our
that one.
I said a little
is
bit
that
ago.
The one out
it's
right
in
now?
The can.
Yeah.
Cool can. It's got a pumpkin with 20 something eyeballs on it. And when you pour it, Jose, pour it and look at it.
And then smell it.
And then smell it. Okay. Because the smell is
Just transport your senses right to autumn. It
exactly.
Really does.
I need to be there
right so
now.
It's visual and it's also nostril.
Awesome. I will be right back.
Okay. We were talking a little bit about that beer, and before I drank it, I smelled it, and right away I said, this beer smells great.
Pumpkin ales personally isn't one of my favorite styles of beer, but when they're done right, they can be extremely good. There's so many bad ones I've tried that I said I have to make one that actually tastes good.
Well, folks, I want to tell the people out there that you actually go and shop for this stuff, because the way I ran into you again is at a local store, I should say.
Yeah.
And you were hunting your cinnamon sticks and your nutmeg, and you're gathering all these things. It's not like you get some kind of concentrate and throwing in with the beer and just change the flavor. You're actually going from scratch and creating it. And that's why that beer, it's an ale, but it has like a dark tint to it, and it's because you're using real stuff.
Yes, I'm using a little bit of caramel malts and some darker roasted malts to get that kind of autumn look to it, that orangey reddish hue to the color of the beer. But all the spices, I try and acquire them as fresh as possible, and never use ground, only use whole, and that makes
sticks.
A big, big difference. And so I'm using freshly grated ginger root.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using some cinnamon sticks. I'm using allspice and nutmeg, and then some real vanilla. And those in the combination that I'm using, it literally is like pumpkin pie in the glass.
And, I mean, you've told me in the past you did this, and something that, because of COVID and things have got, steered away, that you're going to try to introduce back. But somebody that gets this, because you can buy these in growlers, right?
Oh, sure.
How can you buy them? I mean, just what size do they come?
We have 32-ounce and 64-ounce like jugs. They're called growlers or howlers, and those are available. They fill them right from the taps at the bar of all of our beers.
Okay,
and we just did a really big canning run, so we're gonna have cases and six packs at the brewery, and local liquor stores are starting to hit the liquor stores this week. So
do the canners come there and can?
Yes, we use a mobile canning service, so they wheel a big canner off their truck, and we hook it up to one of our big vats, and we're draining the vat into cans. And this machine was running at 39 cans a minute this last time, which is kind of hard to keep up.
So you did this in the past at the bar, but if now these people out there can buy this pumpkin ale beer and do what you were telling me to make it taste like a pumpkin pie almost.
Okay, so
give them a recipe for this.
Well, what we do is I've always described the beer as pumpkin pie in a glass without the whipped cream and crust. So we came up with an idea to do something called a pumpkin Rita. So you take the glass and you rim the edge with Karo syrup, and you dip it in crystallized sugar or brown sugar, and then that kind of mimics the crust. And then they put whipped cream on the beer. So when you take a sip, you're getting the whipped cream, the crust, and the pumpkin pie filling in one glass of beer.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
real quick, let me give out the phone number, 769-9577, 769-9577. Call in, get a chance to win two tickets to the Crown Beer Fest 2021 at Bulldogs Park in Crown Point, sponsored by Crown Brewery. And the main man there that's going to be making the beer for Crown Brewery will be Steve, the brewmeister. And call in. We'll put your name in a hand. It's $160 value.
Oh, wow.
I know. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I have smelled this beer, and I could smell that for a very long time.
It's good. You know,
it's such a good smell.
And some of the pumpkin beers out on the market are like a Yankee Candle that they melted or something. And I don't want it to be like that. Some of them are too potpourri-ish.
Yeah.
This is subtle. It's there. But as soon as you smell it, like I said, it's transporting your senses to autumn, and you're immediately in your happy place.
Specifically
with
the beer gardens of autumn, because like you still smell the beer, but it's like the hint of like the sweet smells.
And this beer is really cool because as it ages, the different spices kind of come out more or go in the background more. So sometimes people come in and they'll say, oh my gosh, it's different. What did you do? It's a different batch. I'll be like, no, it's the same batch. It's just the cinnamon is in the background now and the allspice is in the forefront. It just over a few weeks, it'll change pretty drastically sometimes where you're like, wow, it tastes like a different beer, but it's the same thing.
And it, like compared to like other fall beers or like Oktoberfest, it's actually pretty like light too. Like
it's not super, super heavy bodied. And that's another one that will be coming out. I have my Oktoberfest, which is the tail end of fermentation and kind of cold aging right now, and that'll be ready in a few weeks.
Oh, so that is a separate beer.
Beer. That's actually a like very authentic German style lager. It's based off of a recipe when I was lager training in Vienna, Austria, but basically using that recipe and their techniques, including 100% natural carbonation, which is called Kreuzening. If you've heard, remember the old style commercials.
Right.
That's actually where you're fermenting under pressure and you're capturing all the natural carbon dioxide that's being developed by the yeast, retaining it in the vessel. So the beer is actually naturally carbonated that way. I don't have to force inject CO2 into the beer to get it bubbly.
Wow.
It makes a much smoother, rounder, fuller bodied taste to it.
So what other beers are you experimenting on for the seasons?
Yeah,
are you changing seasons?
So for Crown Beer Fest, we're doing a couple that we're doing specifically for the fest, and then whatever's left we'll serve at the bar. But we're doing a dry-hopped Pilsner. So this is a lager recipe that has a whole bunch of hops in it. So it's going to kind of have a little more floral and bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we do what's known as dry hopping, and that's where you're actually adding hops to the finished beer for even more aroma and flavor.
So, Jose, what do you like? You like a lot of hops? You like it more of an ale? I like more of an ale.
I know it's kind of a boring answer, but I just like all types of beer, you know? Like, me and my friends, we taste test, you know, like from old style and Schlitz and to the most micro-brewed craft IPAs.
Well,
you know,
do you guys have like any kind of contest there that, you know, I remember when I lived down in Florida, this place had like 99 different beers and you know, kind of go through it and they check you off and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. You know, the World of Beer probably you're talking about. Yeah. No, we do have some guest cans and bottles and occasional draft, but we're concentrating on what we're making.
Uh-huh. Any loyalty programs?
Oh, yeah, we have what's called the 22-ounce club. Where for a small fee a year, you get a 22-ounce pour for the price of a pint.
Okay.
And then we do certain perks for them as well, like throw a certain party or we'll do a special release beer for them. There's many, many different benefits joining.
That's cool. Now, would you do a beer, like say somebody's having a wedding, would you just label beer special for them?
Well, we've done that in the past, yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, when my kids were born, we got Hershey chocolate bars and had their names on it.
Yeah, we've done some, I guess you could call it like private label kind of stuff in the past, yeah.
So you think about getting more vats?
We don't have much room for more vats. So, you know, at that point we're talking, we're maxing things out right now. But, you know, this is obviously the busy season and we're gearing up for all the festivals and Oktoberfests that are coming up in the next month or two.
Yeah.
So we're maxed out right now, but you know it slows down a little bit, and then we have a little bit of room and a little bit of breathing room too.
What's a vat run? I mean, what is one of those vats? I know they're come in different sizes.
I mean,
like
they're
the
all
big ones.
They're all stainless steel, and they can last pretty much forever. You just replace the rubber components and gaskets and things like that. You know, one our size runs anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
The very first fermenters that I worked at in that little brewery in Berwyn that I talked about, those vats are now in a Shoreline Brewery in Michigan City.
Okay.
And so Sam Strupek, who owns Shoreline, is still filling those with wort and fermenting beer, and the same ones that I worked on 32 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So it just goes to show you how long they can last.
Like the barrels, like they save barrels and just keep filling, like whiskey barrels and stuff like that. You just kind of keep using it.
I was going to say, is it similar to whiskey barrels? Like, does it retain any flavor?
No, the stainless steel is mainly for that fact where you're not going to get any flavor crossover or anything like that.
So what is the best temperature to have your beer at?
Well, to ferment lagers, 55. To ferment ales, about 68. And then once they're done fermenting, you're in a cold condition them and cold age them around as close to freezing as you can get them.
So is the whole thing about warm beer in Germany, is that just like a myth?
Germans like cold beer. I think more of the English do what's called cellar temperature, which isn't warm. It's like, 58 degrees, which is warm to me. I like my beer cold.
I do too. Yeah, very, same. Very, very cold. Folks, again, we got two tickets to the Crown Beer Fest 2021 at Bulldogs Park. It'll be Saturday, September the 4th, and Steve, the Brewmeister Steve from Crown Brewery, they're sponsoring the event. And the tickets are worth $160 for the two tickets, and it gets you into the gates, an hour early?
An hour early. You get in, try all the beers that you want to try before the general admission comes in.
Okay, so all you need to do is dial 769-9577, 769-9577, give us a call, give us your address, give us your name, and we'll throw your name in a hat, and we'll be drawing a winner at the end of the show. In about maybe 10 or 15 more minutes, we'll be drawing winners. So if you want to get in on the contest, 769-9577. So how's this temperature? How's this heat treating you? How's it make it different to brew beer?
Do you have to adjust yourself? Yeah, the brewery has many sources of heat from all the refrigeration equipment displacing all their heat into the brewery. And my brewery has a big boiler that supplies low-pressure steam heat to heat the vessels and boil my wort. So it gets about 106 in there. We do have a garage door that opens and a big fan to kind of blow air, but it's blowing in 100-degree parking lot air into a very incredibly humid environment. So it's a little tough. So on brew days, I try to start around 4:30 in the morning to where all my heat sources are kind of shut down by 10 or 11 in the morning and just deal with it.
So what would you rather – what's the best condition? Is wintertime? You'd rather be brewing in the winter?
My philosophy is I'd rather sweat than shiver.
Okay.
ideally for brewing, if it could be about 58 to 62 year-round, that would be ideal. But
what's better for the equipment, though? Is it better to be colder or hotter?
I would say colder for sure, just because everything is generating so much heat. When you're trying to keep tanks at 32 degrees and it's in a 106-degree environment, it's not good for equipment.
That's probably very hard on equipment. Yeah. And hard on you.
And hard on humans, for sure.
Very, very much. So where do you get most of your hops from?
We get mostly from the Pacific Northwest, where at one point almost all the hops were grown there. But there's so many small farms. We get some from Michigan. They got quite a few hop fields in Michigan. But we also deal with Howe Farms here in Crown Point. Mm-hmm. Steve Howe's been growing hops for close to 7 years, I want to say now, and he's completely got his process nailed down to where his is unbelievable quality, and he's growing the same varieties that you can get from the Pacific Northwest, but since they're grown in an Indiana climate, they even have different flavor and aroma components, which I consider better, and a lot of people consider better. So we use quite a bit of his hops. Actually, we use his hops in all of our beers at some point. Some to only get a few ounces just to say we used his hops in them. But, yeah, all of our recipes have Howe Farms hops in them.
I was going to ask, so with hops, does it, like you said, that you consider the Indiana base better, what notes, what flavors does it bring to a beer?
Well, something that might be grown in the Pacific Northwest will have, kind of tropical aromatics and some certain varieties of hops where when they're grown at like Howe Farms, it takes them to a whole different level of explosion of tropical flavor and aroma. It's just really neat. And that's just from the different soil conditions and weather conditions. And obviously the way he's growing them too, I think makes a big difference too.
So you you store hops in a just cool, dry environment?
Well, what he does is he's, after they're picked, the cones are then hammer milled and they're put into they're pelletized. So they're the little green pellets, and then you vacuum seal them, and then you store them in a freezer or a very cold cooler until you use them. And they stay super fresh that way.
So you know, we've you know, through all the years that we've been doing this show, we've had these different places that's, you know, it's beers. But there's meads, there's ciders, and there's sparkling, there's ciders and sours. Meads, right?
Sure. It's wine, meads, and ciders. Those are all different permits from the federal government to be able to produce.
So you can't make a cider.
We cannot make a cider with our current license. And distilling, that's a whole separate license as well.
How is cider different than just what you do?
Well, it's basically fermented apple juice.
Oh.
So they're not using malted barley, which we're using. They're actually either pressing apples or they're buying already, you know, pressed apples.
So it's almost like a wine?
It's basically, instead of grapes, you're using apples, yeah.
Wow. Oh. So can you guys do sours, or is that
sours? Oh, yeah, we could do sours because those are malted barley still. Those are
How's a sour made different than just making regular ale?
It's the strain of yeast that you use to ferment the beer. And there's sour strains of yeast that produce all those funky tart and flavors. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's the yeast.
I thought it was like the fruits or whatever they put in.
I also thought that, too.
Well, certain fruits, like, I mean, if you're going to add lemon to a beer, it's going to be tart. But, it's the strain of yeast that's used to make sour beers.
Do you guys make sours?
We do a few sours throughout the year, correct. Yeah.
More of a summer thing?
Yeah, right now the sour I have on is a watermelon Berliner. A Berliner is a German wheat-style beer that's naturally tart from the yeast, and I add some natural watermelon to that, and it's a little bit tart, but it's got a lot of juicy watermelon flavors, almost like a melted Jolly Rancher.
Hmm. Well, those are like three of my favorite things, like Jolly Rancher, watermelon, and sour beer.
There you go. Now, you know, you got New Year's coming up. Do you guys got anything with beer that would be more like a champagne-ish style?
Not really, no. I know there's certain – I know they do beer with champagne yeast to get it extra effervescent and bubbly like that, but we really haven't done too much with that.
Hmm. How do you get the beer to get more alcohol content to it? And what's the highest one you have?
We've done them up to about 18%, believe it or not.
And how do you get it that high?
More grain.
Oh, really?
More grain is more sugar. More sugar is more potential alcohol.
Now, you add sugar also?
Well, to certain styles of beer, we do like Belgian candy sugar, which is like 100% fermentable. Or we can just use like some Demerara or raw sugar that is almost all fermentable. Honey is another form of sugar.
But now, does that take it to a mead point when you put honey in it?
Or
is it a percentage of honey? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're not talking cut, like, right. Mead is fermented honey, yeah. I'm not adding 55 gallons of honey.
No, you're just making it the flavor.
Yeah, you do it for some additional fermentable sugar, and you get a little of the flavor as well.
Well, let's talk about some other type of sugar, like in your pop. You guys do pop.
Well, I make pop. Yes, and I've brought them here and shared them with the staff here. Yes.
I remember that. Yeah.
Our root beer is a recipe that I've perfected over the years, and I haven't changed it in about 15 years now. It took me a long time to find one that I was happy with, and I'm using a base of 100% raw sugar, Demerara sugar, and as bad as it sounds, the secret recipe is a pound of sugar per gallon of water.
That does sound bad.
That's why it's not a healthy drink, but it tastes delicious. And we're not using the high fructose corn syrup or anything like that.
Just straight sugar.
Yeah.
And how can people purchase this from you?
We have growlers.
So does it come through like a keg?
Yeah, we have them on kegs and tanks, and so it pours just like beer. And if you want to take a jug home, the bartender will fill one up for you.
How many different flavors you got?
Well, right now we have more beers that we're trying to fit on our lines, but I usually try to have two sodas on at all time. Uh-huh. Right now it's just one. The root beer is always going to be on, but I'll do like an orange soda, and I've done cream sodas.
That was good too.
And done natural ginger ales, and
I had that.
Even a cotton candy soda, believe it or not.
Is there a time that you bring in more pop?
It's more when I have the tap space.
It's the tap. And how many taps you have?
I think we have 19 taps. So we
that's
have,
a lot of taps.
Mm-hmm. We have 19 products on at all times. So yeah, right now one of those 19 is root beer, and the other 18 are beer.
Wow.
So forgive me if you guys talked about this while I was taking phone calls. But, so you talked about your Oktoberfest, and you have this pumpkin spice
ale.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other seasonal drinks that are coming out?
Oh yeah, we do a number of beers throughout the year.
What's your fall line, I should say?
My fall lineup is definitely the pumpkin ale.
Mm-hmm.
and the Oktoberfest. Those are the ones that everybody looks forward to. We're doing a dry hop Pilsner and a pineapple ESB that are going to be released at Crown Beer Fest.
Then
from there, our winter staple has been Winter Warlock, which is like a spiced brown ale. Not as spicy as the pumpkin ale, and I'm using local honey and maple syrup, 100% pure maple syrup in that recipe. And then we usually go into the barrel age stuff. So we're taking old whiskey barrels and aging usually a stronger style of beer, like a Russian Imperial Stout, in those barrels for up to 6 months to a year. And then we drain it out of the wood, we recarbonate it, and we will put that on tap. And usually on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we will do a big barrel age release of those beers.
It's crazy that you're working that far out to make sure you're in season with something.
Yeah. I have stuff that's been out of wood that's mellowing out, and I have stuff that's currently still in wood that will be coming out very soon.
So where do you purchase these barrels?
Well, lately we've had really good success with Journeyman Distillery in Michigan. Okay. And we're using their Featherbone barrels right now, and with excellent results.
Wow.
Folks, this is going to be your last chance to call in. 769-9577, 769-9577. Call into Let's Eat. Chef Nick, we got Jose here. And we have the brewmeister, Steve, from Crown Brewery. And he brought two tickets valued at $160 to the Crown Beer Fest 2021 in Bulldogs Park in Crown Point. Yep. It's September the 4th. Call in, and we'll put your name in the hat with everyone else and get
a
chance to win.
That's next weekend, right?
That's next weekend.
Wow. Next weekend, yeah, call in. Go.
You're ready. You must be really busy.
Well, we're gearing up for that. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be a fun day, and we always look forward to—
What are the hours for that?
General admission is 3:30.
3:30 to 7:30.
3:30 to 7:30.
And these tickets here are VIP tickets, yes. And you get in an hour early.
An hour early.
And so you get food.
I think VIP is 3:30, general is 4:30.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sounds like it'd be a great time. You know, they looked at the weather. I think next week's supposed to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, I think we're going to get through all this humidity, and then we're going to have gorgeous weather.
Because you used to
and
do
the weather
it.
Doesn't matter that much because, you know, Bulldog Park is under a giant roof. So you're basically outdoors, but you're sheltered outdoors. So you're not in the direct sun. And if it's raining, you're not going to get wet.
So it's rain or shine.
It's rain or shine, absolutely.
Awesome.
So where else can you find your beers? I mean, what restaurants in this area? Has anyone got your stuff on tap?
Yeah, we have a number of restaurants that carry draft, and Calumet Distributing handles most of our draft accounts.
You actually go through a distributor.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily tell us where they are, so I'm not really sure. I don't have a list on me that I could say we're here, here, and here. We maintain Lucretia Restaurant in Crown Point. Since they're right around the corner from us, I'll just wheel a six barrel of beer down the street and put it in their cooler for them. So we maintain that account, but we do a whole bunch of liquor stores in a 15-20 mile radius or out to Michigan City.
Do you ever go into a liquor store and just suddenly say, oh, they got our beer in here?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I do, and I see our beer, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know we were here. Because, we have salespeople.
Need to have
a
marker on you so you sign it. Sign the cans.
Yeah, do
sign
some autographs. Sure.
You got all this knowledge. Do you just like, are you got a certain magazine that you pick up and read? Or what books do you do? You go online a lot? What do you do? Do you really research on your spare time?
I like to keep up on articles. I'm really a big brewery history buff. So there's a lot of magazines I read are about what the old breweries were doing and the history of the old breweries. My father is still a beer can collector at 83 years old, and he's got a wonderful Chicago brewery collection of cans. So I like to read a lot of the national magazines that the different clubs put out, and they have wonderful, well-researched articles about specific breweries from the 1800s or early 1900s. And as far as technical brewing, I you do some blogs and some websites that I keep up on, and
how much have we changed from 1900s. I mean, how much have we changed?
I mean, 1800s, yeah. They were doing everything in wood,
really?
And they would use pitch to line tanks with, which is actually like pine tar. And they didn't have stainless steel.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the biggest innovations was they started doing glass-lined vats because glass is doesn't have a lot of pores, mm-hmm. and so they wouldn't hold bacteria. And then once they discovered stainless steel, the industry was forever changed.
Oh, wow. Does the taste change, or would you know?
I would love to taste what beers were like. You know,
does anyone
pre-prohibition?
Do that? Anyone go make beer like back then?
Sure, actually, really? There's people that try and do that, and there was one brewery I want to say in Ohio that just started doing like a gravity-fed brewery that you would have found in 1850.
And, wow. What's that mean, gravity fed?
So basically you start at the top of the building and everything goes down a floor until you get to the basement where the finished product is. Just because they didn't have, you know, electricity and pumps and they couldn't move fluids around, they had to rely on gravity.
Wow. Have you ever tasted that beer?
No, it's a relatively new brewery, I want to say, but what an interesting concept and what a tremendous amount of work that must be involved.
Oh, right, yeah. And moolah, I would assume, too.
And you said when you started with breweries, there was only like 86 microbreweries?
Yeah, there was very few, and I want to say we are approaching 9,000 in the United States right now, which is more than there's ever been in the history of our country.
Wow. And so, what constitutes as like a microbrewery? Like anybody like in their tub or?
No, I mean, you possible? Have to be federally licensed. I would that you have to hold a brewer's permit from the federal government, and you are considered a brewer.
Wow, and it's 9,000?
There's 9,000 wow. permit holders of varying sizes, probably from as little as 5 gallons up to, you know, 500-barrel tank breweries. Wow. So,
do you have an interest of trying them all one day?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
like going to every football stadium or something like that.
Or like my Netflix queue or
something. I think it's a physical impossibility at this point. There's just too many.
How many are in Indiana, you think?
Well, when Crown Brewing opened up in 2008, we were the 15th brewery in the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
And I think now we're somewhere around the 180, 190, with wow. probably another 20 or 30 in planning.
And do they include like the meaderies and stuff like
no,
that?
No, that would be strictly breweries. Yeah.
Wow. That you can make a whole show about just visiting
that's just a goal would just be visiting them all in your home state before you would even think about, you know, venturing. I think California has close to 800 breweries or something like that. Like you couldn't see them all.
Are there breweries that actually, well, I guess that answers my question. They grow their own hops and then they make their own beer. There's just a few of those that do that.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, back in the old days, you know, the breweries used to, the farmers would grow barley, sell it to the brewery. The brewery had their own malt houses where they would turn the barley into malted barley. Mm-hmm. They would make beer out of it, and then they would sell the beer back to the farmers. You know, it was a perfect circle.
Wow. So people can come in and just get kegs from you guys?
We sell kegs. We do half barrels and 6 barrels as well with advance notice. We just don't have them ready to go. We usually like at least 24 hours notice to get your favorite brew ready.
Okay. Well, we only got seven minutes left.
Yeah,
left the show. So why don't we put these all in a hat? I don't have a hat.
I also do not have a hat.
We're going to have to figure out something. Oh, I know what to throw it in here. And this is going to be for the...
it's going to be completely randomized.
Right.
It's completely fair.
Right. And this is going to be for the two tickets for $160 to the Crown Beer Fest and Crown
Who's
Point.
Who's going to do the honors?
We're going to have Steve do the honors.
All right. Steve, are you okay?
I'm sure.
Dipping your hand in a trash bin?
Well, why not?
That's all right. Okay, so should I do a drum roll? Here we go.
Completely random.
Completely random.
He's picking now.
Back to
Jose's
you.
Got it.
All right, I've got it.
We want to thank everyone for calling in.
Thank you, everyone, for calling in. And the winner is Debbie.
Debbie. Ta-da! Debbie. I wish we had a horn.
I wish we had some sort of... So we're shooting confetti in the room.
So we got to send these out right away.
Yeah.
Yep.
To Debbie. Where's Debbie from?
Debbie is from Illinois.
From Illinois.
Yeah, Beecher, Illinois.
And there are two tickets for the Crown Beer Fest 2021 at Bulldogs Park. Saturday, September 4th, from 3:30 to 7:30. And Debbie's getting two VIP tickets from Crown Brewery. And
wow. I talked to Debbie, too, and she's going to have a good time.
She seems like it.
Yep.
And they get in an hour early. There's some food, and they get to try all the beer ahead of time.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Sort of like a pregame.
So what we're gonna, So what we're going to do is we're going to send that out to Debbie here. Today, and hopefully she gets in. She should get in time for the.
Yeah.
We'll
get in time here. So, anything I missed? Anything you want to cover? Upcoming events? Anything like that?
Well, we got this is the next 2 months are full of festivals and activities. Obviously, we're focused on Crown Beer Fest right now to make that a huge success and make sure everybody has a good time. But we'll also be doing Winfield has their Fall Fest.
Oh, you'll be out there.
Background. Yeah, we'll be doing that. I want to say backyard. That is September 27th, Saturday, where we're going to be running the beer there. And we did it 2 years ago, and I want to say those people liked beer. I think we went through something like 15 or 19 half barrels of beer in about 6 or 8 hours. Yeah. It was
that's near Lake of Four Seasons.
That was a good time, and everybody was having fun. I remember it being cold and windy, so I don't think we're going to have that this year. We're going to have gorgeous sunny skies and a light breeze.
I live out in the Four Seasons, and I'll be visiting. Are people able to get like growlers and stuff, or just
no? This is strictly by
because
the cup
I might want to take it
we
home, take it back,
no,
so I can drive around in my golf
we
cart.
We can't do anything to go right. from there. Yeah, but you can come and buy a bunch of beers and listen to some good music. I'm sure.
Awesome. And I guess since because you're not the only brewery going to be at the upcoming beer fest in
Crown
Point.
We're going to have upwards of 40 to 50 breweries there.
Okay. Any favorites or any worthy mentions?
Oh, well, you know, you got to love Three Floyds.
Yeah. So they're going
to
be there.
Oh, they'll be there for awesome. Sure. And I just like to try the local people. Like, I like to support the local people. So, you know, Devil's Trumpet and Wild Rose and Griffith and some of the new players that are going to be there. I think Viking's going to be there, and they're literally half a block away.
We had them on, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just neat to try beers because I don't get around as much as I used to and get to these establishments and have a conversation with even the bartender or the owner or the brewer. And it's really neat to say hi to everybody and try a quick sample.
Right.
Well, the first beer fest, how many people were there? How many beer people were there?
Quite a bit. It was actually, it was from the get-go, it was pretty successful. And
Do you invite or do they call you guys?
Well, we usually send invites out, yes. And then staffing is a big issue with a lot of people right now, as it is around the entire industry.
So when they go to this beer fest and they walk in, how does it kind of work real quick?
So you get a sample glass, and you're getting 3 to 4 ounce samples at a time, and it is unlimited. So you just walk around and hand them your glass, and you'll get a sample of what you want to try from all the different breweries that
I've
are going to be
so
there.
I've had so many friends go there, say like, and they would tell me it's unlimited. I'm like, what do you mean unlimited? And they're like, no, unlimited. And they would have a very good time there.
Yeah, and you know, if you're falling down, we'll cut you off. But other than that, it's really a fun time and a great way to try a lot of beer in one place.
Awesome. And fun, too, for the brewmeisters of Indiana. And
you know, the whole downtown Crown Point's got to love that. It just brings electricity to the area.
It sure does, yeah.
I mean, it makes it very, very fun. It's like having your own popcorn fest, but now it's a beer fest.
Right.
Which could be a lot more fun.
popcorn?
Yeah, than with just popcorn. Well, Steve, our time has run out. I want to thank you for joining us here on Lakeshore Public
Thanks
Radio.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Yeah, thank you very much,
Steve. Thanks, Jose.
And we always love to have Steve here from Crown Brewery out of Crown Point. He's probably, the first guy I brought on that brewed beer.
Yeah.
So you've taught me a lot.
About seven years ago or so.
Maybe about 4 years ago.
Maybe four. It seems like seven.
And I want to thank you, Jose, for running the boards and everything.
Oh, no problem. I thank you for having me, Nick.
And tonight it's game night.
Oh.
So it should be a lot of fun. Right. We got all the high school games
going on.
Always
give my support to those guys. I used to be there. Yeah. This is actually the first year I'm not going to be there all night. So kudos to them.
People, don't forget to tune into game night. It starts at what time? 6 o'clock, right, Jose?
I believe so. Don't quote me on that, though. I should know. But, it's after ATC for sure.
Yeah, and then after that, they go on the TV. Yep. And they go over all the games and have some highlights, and it's a really good time. It's probably one of the best shows on the station.
Yeah, lakeshorepublicradio.org for more information, and also our Facebook page, 89.1 FM. Yep.
And, you know, and they can see the pictures of the beers that Crown Brewery brought in, and if they want to listen to the interview, it's on the interview, and it's also on Apple Tunes.
Oh, okay. So, and once again, congratulations to Debbie.
Congratulations, Debbie. Thank you to Steve.
All right.
And I want to wish everyone out there to have a great weekend and try to stay cool. It's really hot out there, especially if you're at the football games. I feel sorry for the football players, but you know what? They're having so much fun, they're probably not even thinking about it.
Yep, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend. Yasu.
Cheers.